Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. And welcome to
Ferment About It
on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm Mary Izette. I'm here in Chicago at Brew & Grow in the West Loop at a special bottle share that has been done in conjunction with Chaos Brew Club. On episode 81, almost a year ago, we had the president, Ken Getty, come on and talk to us about what the Brew Club does. They actually have a space where you can brew. And I am actually here with Jim Vondracek. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's welcome to Chicago.
Thank you. You are pouring a pale ale with a special hop.
It's an India pale ale, and it was a part of a hop school that we did at our last party. We had seven different hops. They're all, the commonality is they're all recently developed. Other than that, they were very different. They're everything from the French hop Triskel, which is a very low alpha acid hop and has kind of a cheesy flavor to it, to Urillo, which is kind of a big, bold American-style hop. The one I did is called a Hallertau Blanc. It's one of those new German hops that have been developed that, though oddly, is kind of American flavor. It's kind of developed for American pale ales and American-style IPAs. And so, yeah, this was, it's not a great beer, but it's a beer to show off the hop.
And what was your experience with the hop?
I like it. It's very melony. It's got a little citrus, but not as much. From what I read about it, it was developed. It's a descendant of Cascade, so I was kind of expecting lots of kind of citrusy stuff. And it's more tropical, more mango-y, more melon. And I don't get a lot of it, but other folks who try it say they get a little bit of kind of white grape flavor from it.
I agree with that.
It's a mid-level alpha acid. It's about a 7.5%.
Cool. And now, how will you use this hop going forward based on what you've learned from single hopping?
Yeah. I wouldn't use it by itself.
Okay.
You know, but there are very few hops, you know, I do that with. I think it'd be a nice mix with some of the Southern Hemisphere hops, mm-hmm. like a Nelson Sauvin or a Galaxy or a Racao. I think they're kind of complementary flavors, maybe. So it'd be fun to do a pale ale or an IPA with one of those. I think it'd be fun to mix it with some of the other new German hops and just kind of see how that comes out. We do these American IPAs, and then we do these Southern Hemisphere IPAs. It'd be kind of funky to do a German IPA.
Right, with a mix of these new German hops
right.
that come out.
Right.
So let's go back and tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in Chaos.
Sure. For the past dozen years plus, we lived out in the southwest suburbs. During that time, I began. That's when I started brewing and all that, and was active in another club called Brewers of South Suburbia. Had lots of room to brew at home. I had the back porch, the basement, and the garage. You know, lots of room. And then 8 months ago, my wife and I did what a lot of folks are doing and kind of moved back into the city. You know, we now no longer have small kids and all the things that lead you to live in the suburbs. And we came back into the city and we love living in the city, but one of the realities is we have little room. Push came to shove, I could brew at home. But it is so great to have, you know, a dedicated brew house and all the equipment's there. You know, there's a walk-in fermentation cooler. Plus, then there's just the social aspect. It's very interesting. When I was brewing at home before, I would occasionally invite folks to come brew with me, but it was basically just me doing it. At Chaos, I schedule a time, reserve a time at the brew house, and invariably, at some point, there will be someone else there. And that's kind of fun.
And what have you found? Have you found that a lot of times it's other experienced people that come in, or
it's both
new people, or all?
It's both. It's fun to be there with, you know, experienced brewers. It's great fun, and you kind of see what they're doing. And there are some folks at Chaos who are really into aspects of brewing that are not my strengths. Mm-hmm. One of my friends there is, a couple of my friends there are very into sours, and even to the point where they are culturing their own wild yeast and bacteria, you know, in ways that I would never do that, right? So I love learning from them, right? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, one of the things we do, because it's a shared brew space, if you are a newer brewer, you have to be supervised for a handful of brewings before you're allowed access by yourself. And then the other thing is, there are folks who are extract brewers who want to make the switch to all grain, and they may already have access. They may have been through their supervision, but they just need someone to brew with, to kind of help them. And I'm actually, earlier today, a friend is doing exactly that. And so he and I are going to brew his first all-grain batch on the 20th.
Awesome. That's so great. What do you recommend for people that are starting out and want to brew pale ales or IPAs? Do you have like a grain bill that you recommend, or that is your go-to grain bill?
Sure. I fall into the category of, I'm very cautious about crystal malts. Mm-hmm. in both APAs and IPAs. You know, 5% is absolutely the top limit for me. And most of my beers, most of my pale ales of whatever variety, have less than that. Usually closer to 2-3%. So I use pale ale malt is my base malt. I like it. It gives a little more flavor than your basic two row. In an IPA, if, you know, I may throw in a little Munich too, just to give just a little more maltiness to it. And I'll ferment both of those styles pretty low, so that they're more fermentable and they end up a little drier, because I think drinkability is a big thing for both of them.
I agree. And do you dry hop?
I do. I do for both. I usually dry hop an APA, maybe three, talking about a 5-gallon batch, maybe 3 ounces, and we'll do that for 3 to 5 days. An IPA, I'll usually do kind of, I'll dry hop in two stages, 3 to 4 ounces each stage, and each stage will be like 5 days, so total of 10 days.
And if you were going to recommend, if somebody said, hey, I'm coming to Chicago and I have one or two places to hit, they're a craft beer fan, what would you recommend?
Okay, my favorite taproom brewery is down in the South Burbs. It's called Hailstorm. This is a new brewery. They've been open just a year. They do extraordinary beers. They have huge, huge vision. I mean, their aspirations are, you know, outsized. You know, they're not just serving the little local community. They are, and it's very exciting. It's a fun place to be. The brewer's great. You know, Hailstorm Brewing would be my first choice in the city.
And what do you like to drink there?
Oh,
pick one beer.
They've got a Russian Imperial Stout that's really good, and they have a double IPA that's quite good. They do some barrel-aged stuff, too, that's really good. In the city, there's lots of choices, you know. I like Pete Crowley's brewery. It's called Haymarket, okay. And it's a brew pub. You can get dinner there and all that, but he does great beers, and it's a fun place to go.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Hey, I'm here with Jeff Welpley, who's a board member of Chaos. Welcome, Jeff.
Hi. Hi. Hi, everybody.
So tell me a little bit about how long you've been homebrewing and how you got involved with Chaos.
Well, I've been homebrewing since about 2001. My wife bought me a homebrew kit before it was even popular. There's like one homebrew store in the suburbs that I had to go to, and I actually learned off of videotape Homebrewing for Dummies. It was all extract and everything. Being in Chicago, it's very hard to homebrew in an apartment or a condo. It was always all over the kitchen. Wife got sick of it. Got sick of the. She didn't like the smell. She's not a big drinker. So I had to dial it back a little bit. I ended up all grain brewing with a coworker. wanted to get more into brewing, so I looked into becoming BJCP certified. That's how I found Chaos Brew Club. And I ended up going, visiting a club, joining it. So I joined Chaos. I'm now a board member, and I host a bunch of events for them, set up a bunch of events as well. If you don't know what Chaos is, we have a brew club in the city where people can go and brew at. We have four brew stations, a tower power, controlled temperature fermentation chamber, grain mill, just a all-around clubhouse. We have four huge parties a year. Really cool place just to hang out, learn about brewing, and with join up with fellow beer drinkers and just hang out. Yeah.
And you have a fermentation room, right?
The fermentation room. It's 65 degrees. Kind of almost works as a convection, so the middle 65 in theory. The top shelves are 67 and the floor is 63, so that's how it works. We have a little refrigerator thing, restaurant-style refrigerator thing for a lager chamber and stuff.
Nice.
So yeah.
So tell me about what you just poured me.
Okay, what I poured you is what I call Maize Black River, or Rio Negro de Mayo. It is a black ale with pink peppercorns and fennel seeds. This is the third version of this beer. I had been brewing it and adding dry hopping it and adding figs soaked in bourbon, but I felt like I was overpowering the pink peppercorns and fennel seeds, which I really like the flavor of.
So what inspired this beer in the first place? I mean, fennel and pink peppercorns is, you know, it's a slightly unusual combination.
Well, it inspired this. The brew club we have like a quarterly party. So our spring party happens to fall more or less around Cinco de Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
So we call it Cerveza de Mayo. And a lot of people do Mexican-inspired beers. So pink peppercorns, fennel seeds, and originally mission figs are all things that were grown in California when it was part of Mexico. And that's what that's some of the stuff they traded with. And so I use those ingredients with a black ale. So,
awesome.
And American hops. So it's,
awesome. So tell me how you dial it down for this beer.
Well, I didn't include the figs soaked in bourbon. I didn't dry hop it. I could dial it down some more because I also use Belgian candy sugar, not known as being part of the original California, but that's part of the, you know, it kind of works, getting the gravity, adding flavor. But I use the very darkest Belgian candy sugar, and I feel like that's adding too much, so I'm going to dial it back to, like, maybe the next level down for next year. So.
Awesome. I think I like this. I mean, usually not a big beer, especially in the summer. But, I mean, you were talking about how you think it's too sweet, and so you're going to tweak the recipe. But
yeah.
I think it reminds me of salted licorice fish.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is beautiful.
That's
anyway,
awesome.
So tell me about the other beer that you brought.
Well, I brought a Russian Imperial Stout. This was actually a club brew. 10 of us brewed the same recipe. It's kind of a Bourbon County clone, but don't tell anybody. Between you and me. And then we aged it in a High West rye whiskey barrel. We bought a ton of cherries from a farmer's market in the suburbs. Ended up freezing. We disinfected them and froze them because the beer in the barrel wasn't ready yet. Once the beer was ready, we added the cherries, aged it for about a month or 6 weeks, that area. Then drained the bottle. And, yeah.
Cool.
Bottled it, yes.
So you guys did you brew individual, like, 5-gallon batches?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you put it all in one barrel?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So, I mean, we taste test them all to make sure they can go in there. Because you don't want to have, like, a bad batch. Because, I mean, these are kind of expensive brews. We have, like, a pretty extensive barrel program at this point, and this Russian Imperial Stout, there's 27 pounds of grain in it, so it's like a pretty expensive beer. And some people, if you're doing like a double batch, because, you know, we'll brew another batch to top it off, because, like, you know, ferments down. Yeah, exactly. So it gets to be kind of expensive, you know, and so you kind of want to make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. So we do taste test it, but I mean, we've never kicked anybody. We've never said, no, your beer can't go type of thing, but, you know.
So tell me about the barrel program and kind of how you guys all got together specifically for the Russian Imperial Stout.
Well, basically, we'll decide on a barrel. It's kind of like we have a person, Josh Smith, we call him the master of wood because he's in charge of our barrel program. And he'll say, yeah, I'm going to get this barrel. What do you guys want to brew for it? And he'll kind of throw out some ideas. We'll kind of all agree on what style we want to use, then Josh will usually come up with the recipe and we'll kind of input on the recipe until everybody agrees on, you know, what the recipe that for the style we're going to brew, and then we'll set it like a drop dead date. So you have to brew by this date so we can fill the barrel, you know, brew by this date, barrel's coming this date, and that's how we do it. This past one, so we just brewed the next version of this cherry one. So we got another, we're getting another High West rye whiskey barrel. We're brewing the same RES recipe, but this time we're going to add blackberries and raspberries to it. So, and to make sure everybody brews on time, Josh threw in a wild card to say, I'm brewing an extra batch just as a club brewer, so the last person out doesn't get in. So everybody's got to brew before, you know, so, yeah.
Cool. So tell me what else you're brewing this summer.
This summer, I am brewing a vanilla cream ale, which actually you had that, I brought last year to the NHC.
Yeah.
You probably tried it, but there are hundreds of beers, so you don't brew. I'm brewing that again because there's an area like on the Illinois-Iowa border called the Quad Cities. They have a beer festival, and they invited Chaos over there, so I'm brewing for that in July. We have our brewbecue in August, so I'm brewing a mango passion fruit wheat ale, which I'm going to serve there. And then I'm also going to take half of that. I'm going to make vanilla banana shakes with the mango passion. I call it the shakes. And I mix it with the mango passion fruit wheat ale. It's really, really good. And then I'm also brewing pretty much a basic wit beer, but I'm adding Markut lime leaves to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to call it I don't have a name for it yet, but I'm brewing that for the thing as well. So
like the kefir lime leaves? Is that?
Well, they're called Markut. Markut.
Markut.
Okay. M-A-R-K-U-T.
And where do you get those?
There's a spice house that I really should remember the name of because it would be good advertising for them. Up in Lincoln Square on the north side of Chicago. That's where I'm getting all of my spices from. But they have the lime leaves. That's actually where I got the idea to use them. They had like a thing for the club last year, or like a thing for brewers in general. I went up there and he had those leaves were one of the things he was demonstrating. Like, this would be really good with a wit beer. And so, yeah.
So what's your favorite thing about being involved in Chaos?
There's so many.
It could be more than one.
Okay. The camaraderie, meeting, you know, hanging with other brewers, getting on the beer scene, you know, meeting the bar owners, the brewery owners, seeing my friends, not that I don't want to do this, but just seeing, like, the people around me in the club advancing to become professional, working for breweries that are opening up. We have a lot of brewers. There's probably about five or six of us who, like, work for actual breweries now, and just the whole scene, and it's just kind of like it's a little bit more than a hobby for me now, you know, it's just something I like to do, and I guess I kind of look at it as like it's my art, you know. I don't know how talented I am at it, but it's my art. It's like a representation of me, you know. That's kind of what I like about it.
You know? Awesome. And if you had somebody say, hey, I'm coming to Chicago, I'm going to hit one or two beer places, breweries, bars, whatever, what would you recommend? What are two of your favorite places in Chicago?
I think Horse Thief Hollow. It's in Beverly, which is the very, very south side of Chicago. They have awesome food. Dave from Chaos, he's one of the founding members, actually, is the brewer there. Really good beer. I think they've won a couple medals at the GABF. And then I would say beer bars, Fat Pour is really cool. They have a huge beer selection. They're in one of the Bucktown, more trendy area. They're at Damon and Division. It's a huge bar. It gets kind of douchey after 9, so you want to get there before 9, but they have, like, it's really cool prices, good food, and, good beer, awesome beer. They have, like, probably about 60 or 70 different beers to choose from, so it's huge.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
In 1996, L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
So I'm here at the Brew and Grow in the West Loop of Chicago with
Paul Thompson,
Christina Wallig.
So you guys brought two beers tonight. Tell me about them.
Well, see, we had an American barley wine that we did with a lot of Falconer's Flight and some kind of a mix of New Zealand hops. It's a couple years old, so some of that we don't quite remember. let's see, and then we also brought a Kolsch that we did with Santium hops. That one is less old.
And you guys brew together?
Yes, we do. This was our first shared hobby. We decided that we would work together as a team and become home brewers. Paul met some people at Brew Camp, which is another homebrew shop in Chicago, and they gave us a class, and we were on our way. This was about 2011, so it's been about 4 years.
So how do you guys collaborate?
Well, we tend to kind of come up with a style that we want to do, and then generally I am the one who kind of comes up with a recipe, I guess, and then during the brew day we sort of throw ideas off of each other and try to tamp down any potential emergencies. And
I like to say that you're the brains and I'm the brawn behind our homebrew operation.
Yeah.
And you brew at home?
Yes. We've done a little bit of brewing at the Chaos Homebrew Club, but we live far enough away that it's slightly challenging. It offers a lot of advantages, just having all the stuff there and just having that nice environment, people to help you out. But we find that homebrewing for us works pretty well at home. And so, yeah, we've been, I don't know, really maxing out the space in our current apartment.
That's true. We have a carboys and buckets in just about every room. If you are a guest in our home, you will be sleeping with something fermenting next to your head or your feet. But, you know, such is urban life as a home brewer. One special thing we did with home brewing together is we did brew all of the beer for our wedding. We had about 10 different kinds, and we had a few people at the wedding who challenged themselves by trying to drink a bottle of each, which they didn't realize some of them are up to 14% ABV. So we had a lively wedding, but we enjoyed ourselves.
And how did you guys choose the kind of styles that you wanted to brew for your wedding? Did you go in with intent, or did you kind of just...
Well, a lot of the styles were dictated by the timeline. So in order to brew that much beer long enough in advance, you have to start with your darker, heavier, higher alcohol beers, and then as you get closer to the event, then you can brew your pale ales and your IPAs and things with a little bit more hop profile. So that's kind of how we did it. A lot of it's just what we like to drink, because I guess it's kind of a selfish hobby. You know, it's what we wanted to drink. It was our wedding, so stouts and strong brown ales.
Yeah, the word imperial was bandied about a lot.
Yes, a lot of imperial things, exactly.
So tell me what you guys are looking forward to brewing this summer.
Well, we're just about to move, so we're looking forward to brewing just about anything at this point, because right now we're kind of in this purgatory where we can't do anything. We just had a really good French Saison. I'm kind of interested in trying a Saison again, because the last one we did was the most horrific, terrible beer that we've ever made. Really the only just total abject failure that we ever did. So maybe something along those lines. That's a very good summer style.
And it can ferment kind of warm, so that's perfect for summer.
Potentially helpful. Yeah.
Definitely.
yeah, I don't know. We like to do a lot of stuff that's pretty hoppy, so we'll probably get into some of that before the summer's over as well.
And if somebody came up to you and said, hey, I'm going to be in Chicago for a short period of time, I want to go to one or two places, of your favorite places, breweries, brew pubs, etc., bars, what would you recommend?
Oh, Half Acre.
We love Half Acre.
Yeah, we live very close to Half Acre. We have for a number of years, and they're great people. They make fantastic beer. It's just an easy place to go. They've got this great tap room now for the last couple of years. They just do it right, and yeah, I'd say that's...
We got engaged at a Half Acre party, just to be fair. We should probably
disclose
that. We're
slightly biased, but yeah.
Well, they do make great beer. I've been drinking a lot. I went to the liquor store my first night here and stocked up on Half Acre cans, so I can appreciate that.
So you're a fan, too. Yeah. That's good.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for talking to me.
Absolutely.
And cheers. All right. I'm here with...
Brian Dombrowski.
Awesome. In Chicago. And I am drinking your rice sake.
Rice sake, yeah.
So... delicious, actually.
Thank
also
you.
So up my alley. Tell me about this.
All right, so this is designed as a springtime, summertime beer, and it was actually just a little side project that my partner and I decided that we would play around with, and it was supposed to be really something fruity, wild, a little different, and actually we were so pleased with it that now we've redone it probably about 10 times and gets better and better every time.
Do you mind taking me through the process?
No, I guess not. I mean, the first process that was really clunky or
the final process?
Yeah. So, yeah, what we do is we start with 70% rice flakes. We then, and we also have 10% rye and 20% six row. And then all we do is we'll mash in at about 151 and let it go for your standard 60 to 75 minutes. We don't get quite the efficiency out of it. When you use that much rice flakes, you don't actually get that much alcohol out of the rice flakes, believe it or not. So something that should probably come in closer to 7% alcohol actually came in closer to about 4% alcohol. But then,
and you're doing traditional all grain, right?
Traditional all grain, that's right. Then we throw in, I use some Hallertau as your base bittering. It's only about 10, 12 IBU. And then after it ferments out, it's still really, really cloudy. It takes a long time for that sake yeast to actually, like, for it to finally, like, settle out. Even if you use clarification, it'll still take longer than you normally do.
And which sake yeast are you using?
We're using White Labs number 7.
And are you doing dry hops or final hops?
Actually, yeah. So we've been splitting batches, playing around with it a little bit. And the first batch we did, we were like, you know what? We're not going to do anything with it. And then, of course, you know, I get my batch home, and I'm like, all right, time to manipulate it. And I actually started by using, grapefruit zest to see if I can actually pull out some grapefruit flavors. And I'm like, you know what? I can do better. I could actually use some different hops and actually get more of a citrus floral arrangement out of it. So I started adding Columbus and Falconer's Flight as my dry hop, and it really does. It brings out that citrusy and that floral aroma.
It's really fun beer.
Thank you.
And what inspired you to make this in the first place? You
know what? I think we were always joking about, hey, let's make some sake. Let's make some sake. So we were thinking we were going to actually, like, you know, boil the rice, then add the koji and firm and get it ready to go. And then we're like, you know, before we do that, why don't we play around with the sake yeast and see what we get? And really, we were doing a brew day where we were making all the brew for our bourbon barrel age. We're like, hey, we've got another mash tun. Let's just do something else. We decided to do it, and it turned out to be a pretty neat beer.
Awesome. And you also brought a cucumber saison today.
Cucumber saison.
So what was the inspiration for that?
I'm not going to lie. It was Cigar City. Cigar City makes an incredible cucumber saison, and from the minute I had that, I was like, all right, this is great. And my wife loves cucumbers, so anything that she really likes, I'm trying to include that, because that means that my alcoholism is actually okay.
So tell me how you made this cucumber saison. I had two different cucumber beers at GABF. I know at least one place got a medal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're beautiful, and this particularly is beautiful. It's like really
cucumber.
Yeah. Well, but in like a super fresh way. So,
thank you. Thank you.
If somebody wants to make a cucumber beer, how would they do?
Well, the first thing I always suggest is that don't call it anything if you can't taste it, if you can't pick it out. So even though I think it might be a little assertive sometimes on the cucumber, and that's from me drinking too much of it probably, I definitely wanted to make sure that the cucumber was forward in the beer. I wish I could tell you the exact grain bill. It was a little while ago, but it's like a standard like pale ale grain bill. And then what I do is I end up wrapping it up with dry hopping it with the cucumber. So basically instead of hops, or I take that back, cucumber and Citra hops. And I'll let it go for about a day, 2 days. If you take it a little bit past that, you find that your cucumber will actually start tasting a little bit more like pickles rather than cucumber, and I wasn't making a pickle beer.
So what are you looking forward to brewing this summer?
Oh my gosh, so many different things. Well, I guess I'm brewing for a wedding. I brewed for my own wedding in October, and then I was in a brew competition that I actually crushed it, and these people were like asking me if I would brew for their wedding. I'm like, you know, I don't know if I can really do that. They're like, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. We won't tell anybody. I'm like, all right, fine. So next thing you know, I'm brewing 40 gallons of beer for their wedding, and that's coming up this month on the 27th. So right now I have a kettle sour mixed with a rice ale, and that one's really, really nice. I'm doing the rice sake for them as well. Also have a really, really nice American pale ale. My favorite, like, summertime perk-you-up kind of beers, they seem to change on a regular basis. So I don't know. It's funny putting me on the spot like this. What do I feel like brewing right now, today, tomorrow? I think I would do something with a Hefeweizen yeast, but I will take it away from, like, your traditional grain bill and probably do a little, alternative hop blend.
Somebody said, "Hey, I'm coming to Chicago for a day."
Yeah.
What would you recommend me hit? Like breweries, brew pubs, bars, etc. One or two places.
So, if you're gonna go to like a brew pub, one of my favorites is actually pretty new. It's called First Draft. It's right off of Congress in the South Loop. They have the most eclectic draft menu that you've ever seen in your lifetime, and you can pull them up. They always have their menu online, so you could always see what the changing taps are. And their whole like brewing or their whole draft system is designed incredibly beautifully. Like no one's ever seen anything like this. Other than that, I think like the breweries that people must hit. We're only 35, 40 minutes from Munster, so I'm a Three Floyds guy. I love the food that they have there. But if you really want to like that Chicago experience, I think the best brewery in Chicago right now is Off Color. They are absolutely, totally unique. They're not doing anything that everybody else is doing. They refuse to do IPAs and APAs. And you know what? I respect that awesomely because they actually turn out really, really great beers, and they're bucking the trend.
Well, thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you very much.
I'm here with Chuck Mack, also a board member of Chaos. Welcome to the show, Chuck.
Thank you.
So I just poured myself a cup of your barrel-aged barley rind. Tell me a little bit about this beer.
This is part of our barrel projects. I'm trying to remember what barrel we aged. I think it was High West whiskey barrel. It was aged for a year in the barrel, and this has been 6 months since I bought it.
Cool. And this was the same situation where a bunch of you brewed five gallons worth and all of
actually, this one was 10.
10 gallons.
10 cool. gallons worth, yeah. And then on what I did with my version, I brewed...
So let me back you up. After you guys, how do you guys empty the barrel?
How do we empty the barrel?
Yeah. I mean, you're taking home a certain portion to do with what you want.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So I brewed up another 5 gallons of this and then blended 2.5 gallons into the portion I got. I think I ended up with 8 gallons total.
Okay.
You lose it in the barrel.
Right. And share.
Yeah. And so with that, I blended in 2.5 gallons into each 5-gallon deal and then bottled that.
And what do you think?
I like it. I really think blending with barrel beers, especially something that hadn't had fruit or anything set on it, when it's just a straight beer, sometimes that whiskey and that oak can be just too much, I think. So I feel most better barrel beers are the ones that have been blended.
And how did you decide how much you wanted to blend? Did you just say,
winged it. I'll be honest. I read a little bit, and it seemed like anywhere around a gallon and a half to 2.5 gallons seemed to be the norm from what I was reading on the web. I'd go to Homebrew Talk, and, they had a forum on blending. And that seemed about the right amount. So I just went ahead and went with the 2.5 ratio.
I think it turned out really beautifully. So how did you get involved with Chaos?
Iggy, the founder, approached me via the email because I was a Hops member before I became a Chaos member.
And that's another local club?
Another local. Homebrewers Pride of the South Side. And he knew I was in a homebrew club, and he was like kind of interested in what kind of bylaws and stuff that needed to be written up. And I told him I'd ask around. And then I got divorced. And no longer had a huge kitchen to brew in anymore. So I was pretty much bouncing around for about a year. And Chaos, really, with having a dedicated brew house, really kind of kept me brewing. Because, there was a month where I think I was homeless.
I can appreciate that, being a New Yorker.
I was couch surfing there for a month. Yeah, it was sucked. But I liked that it was, all the equipment was going to be there. And I was one of the original members. I went to their first meeting. And when they proposed what they were doing with renting a space, I was like, oh, that's really cool. Our first pace was horrible. I think I brewed there once, maybe twice. And then we were at a party at Iggy's, and I noticed that he had a detached garage in his backyard. And I was like, can we talk to the landlord about this and get inside, see if it's got power and gas? And fortunately, it had all three things we needed. It had power, it had a gas line, it had a water line, and in-floor drains. I know, it was like this fell in our lap, and it was in the founder's backyard all this time, and we were like, let's rent this place. And so we talked to the landlord, we got it for $600 a month. We were there for a little over a year, and then we got hit with the eviction notice because they sold the property and they were going to make condos out of it. So now that's while we're at our recent location in Hubbard.
And what is your favorite thing of being involved with Chaos? Our favorite one or two things?
I like the fact that I get to talk to other brewers while I'm brewing, or even if I'm not brewing, we'll hang out at the brew house while someone is and discuss recipes and tricks and tips and that. Where before, I belonged to Hops, they just had one monthly meeting. And maybe you get some info from the guys there, but for the most part, you're brewing on your own. And I'd been brewing since 89. And, all those years, I pretty much have been brewing by myself. Or for a while, I had a brew partner when I lived in Oakland. But with Chaos, you have so many people that you can talk to. You can go down the website and discuss recipes, or, you're hanging out at the meetings or at the brew house when someone's brewing. That's what I really like about it.
Awesome. And what are you looking forward to brewing this summer?
I'm gearing up for a Russian Imperial Stout that I'll be brewing tomorrow for another barrel project. And what I'm really looking forward to is once this Russian Imperial Stout gets emptied from the barrel, we're throwing a mead right in on top of it.
So
with a ton of blackberries, I think we're doing something like 250 pounds of blackberries in this sucker. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait for that one.
That sounds incredible. Well, cheers. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.